This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is February 22nd, 2011. I'll be spending the next week preparing for NakaCon, so I'm doing this recording about a week early. Digging out from under the worst snowstorm that we here in the Vortex have experienced in my lifetime gave me an opportunity to reflect on global warming. Much of the rhetoric surrounding anthropomorphic climate change is dictated not by science, but by the individual speaker's point of view. That's only to be expected, but it results in statements that range from odd to downright frightening. On the frightening end of the spectrum is the idea that, because the global climate has been warmer in the past, it will not be a problem for humanity if it becomes warmer now. In particular, I was once told that sea level rise is not a problem, because sea levels at some unspecified point in prehistory were 5 meters higher than they are now. How many people live within 5 vertical meters of the sea? According to a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, fully a third of the world's population lives at elevations of less than 100 meters above sea level. Mumbai is only 10 meters above sea level. Shanghai is only 4 meters above sea level. Not to mention all the corals and other photosynthetic ecosystems that might take an extra 5 meters of water rather poorly. Here in the Vortex, at 600 meters above sea level, it's easy to discuss sea level rise as an abstraction. However, from the nation of Bangladesh to the shark-based stromatolites, there are plenty of places on Earth where even a small rise in sea level could be disastrous. Any winter storm or period of extreme cold, such as the one we are currently enduring, provides an opportunity for some smartass to comment about global warming, usually to the effect of where is it and can it get here faster. Global, that's one key word, climate change predicts an increase in average, that's another, temperatures across the world. To look at it another way, modern climate change models predict that there will be more energy in the atmosphere in general. That may lead to nastier storms, or it may not, depending on where you live. Predicting local weather is a completely different sack of cats than spotting trends in the climate of an entire planet. I could blame global warming for the 15 inches of snow that I cleaned off of my car. After all, warmer air can carry more moisture, which means more snow. However, one cannot simply state that a warmer climate in general means wetter winters here in the Vortex. There are too many other factors. I have read meteorological literature, and those there are some complicated models. AstronomyCast, with Dr. Pamela Gay, is one of the best science podcasts on the web. The hundreds of episodes in their archive cover planets, stars, space missions, fundamental forces, ways the universe will kill us all, how to choose your telescope, and so on. The format of the show uses an age-old technique of having an enthusiastic stand-in for the audience, in this case, Fraser Cain, ask questions of an expert. Their most recent episode covered supermassive black holes. It had a little bit of all the things I love about AstronomyCast. They briefly discussed the history of black hole theory, which has gone from being an interesting mathematical idea to a set of predictions about things that astronomers can see chewing on stars. Dr. Pamela Gay knows just how awesome supermassive black holes are, and she isn't afraid to say so. She has a way of picking the most brilliantly gonzo ways of describing things that I adore. The phrases I remember from this episode were, "Einstein's brain is smarter than your gut," and "the idea of supermassive black holes that could float is somewhat traumatic." Between the joy she obviously takes in her work and Fraser's wide-eyed wonder, AstronomyCast should have no trouble convincing its listeners that astronomy is the best science ever. As a science fiction writer, AstronomyCast is a constant source of inspiration. Outer space is cool. Just listen to a few episodes of AstronomyCast. They'll tell you. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivative works, share alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, or to submit flash fiction for future shows, drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, @gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.